Ta'alo Falava with a bulletin from RNZ Pacific. I'm Johnny Blades. Fijians have been warned that anyone who incites civil unrest will be investigated. The acting police commissioner, Rusiate Tundravu, says the warning comes after the force noticed an increase in the number of hate speeches and threats of unrest being made on social media about the proposed land bill in Parliament. Mr. Tundravu says people shouldn't allow emotions to cloud their judgment when making comments on the proposed bill.
We don't want vulnerable people, people that cannot see, to be influenced by all these misinformation that are going on. And my advice is, if we can just continue with what we're supposed to do, or rather than taking the law into our own hands.
Mr. Tundravu has warned that any threat of violence can and will result in arrest. The New Zealand government says it's concerned about reports that a number of political figures in Fiji have been detained in recent days. Several opposition politicians, as well as two former prime ministers and indigenous rights advocates, were taken in by police for questioning about their criticism of the government's proposed changes to the Land Act. Christine Ravoy reports.
Fiji's opposition National Federation Party leader Biman Prasad has been taken in today by police for a second time in 3 days. Professor Prasad has been critical of the proposed land bill, saying the amendment removes any protection for landowners. New Zealand Ministry for Foreign Affairs and Trade says it's monitoring the situation closely. A spokesperson said the New Zealand High Commission in Suva is also making further inquiries.
Meanwhile, Fiji is grappling with a worsening COVID-19 crisis, and NGOs are providing a lifeline for people in the country with food packs and medicines to prevent the most vulnerable from falling through the cracks. Close to 1,300 cases were recorded in the last 24-hour update, resulting in new curfew hours for the nation's main island of Viti Levu. Sashi Kiran, a director of Friend, an NGO in Fiji, says hundreds of food parcels have been given to at least 10 villages in Fiji.
Everybody in Fiji now knows somebody who's died of COVID. There's a fair bit of confusion, like I said, on what to do when they're at home, what are the services they could reach out to. So a lot of NGOs are helping step up, and we know that Ministry of Health staff are really, really stretched, and many of them are COVID positive themselves.
She says the extent of suffering in Fiji is heartbreaking. Samoa's first woman Prime Minister, Fiame Naomi Mataafa, has today held the first cabinet meeting of the country's new government. 109 days after being elected, the FAST party has finally been able to take office. Dominic Godfrey reports.
Ministers have now moved into their new offices and met with their ministry's chief executives. The meeting currently underway will confirm priorities for keeping the government functioning. The interim operational budget can meet up to 25% of the value of last year's. Parliament will be called to approve the new budget. Despite months of acrimony and uncertainty since the election, a FAST party spokesperson says the transition to government is going smoothly.
Meanwhile, outgoing Prime Minister Tuilepa Sailele Malialengaoi has wished the new government well, saying his party will support it and work with it in good spirit. With COVID-19 resurgent in the United States, medical organisations there are pushing for mandatory vaccinations for healthcare workers. Rebecca Foster reports from Washington.
50 medical groups, including the American Medical Association, have issued a joint statement urging healthcare employers to require their staff get vaccinated. The groups say that vaccination is the primary way to avoid the return of stringent public health measures in the U.S. This comes as coronavirus cases surge across the United States, fueled by the spread of the highly contagious Delta variant.
COVID-19 has claimed another life in French Polynesia, bringing the death toll there to 146. The territory recorded another 107 infections at the weekend. 17 people with COVID-19 are in hospital, 4 of them in intensive care, as the virus keeps spreading. 2 weeks ago, French Polynesia had the first day in 11 months without a COVID-19 patient in hospital. And as the virus appears to be rearing its head again in the territory, France and French Polynesia have agreed to jointly spend $60 million to build 17 cyclone shelters across the Tuamotu archipelago. This was announced on Manihi Atoll, where the visiting French President Emmanuel Macron inaugurated the construction site for a shelter for the atoll's 600 inhabitants. The shelters are scheduled to be built by 2027 to extend protection for a further 8,000 residents. So far, 27 shelters have been erected. Mr. Macron stopped on Manihi on his way back to Tahiti after a visit to Hivaoa. The French Polynesian President Edouard Fritch, who is travelling with Mr. Macron, told local media that he asked Paris for another loan to cope with problems at the social welfare agency CPS and Air Tahiti Nui. Vanuatu's Supreme Court has ordered the Minister of Climate Change to pay a fine of around $2,600 and carry out 120 hours of community work for breaching civil aviation rules. Bruno Lancon boarded a chartered aircraft last year from Pekoa Airport on Santo to Belfield on Efate while drunk. The female pilot was forced to return to Pekoa moments after takeoff because of the minister's bad behaviour, which was deemed a risk to passenger safety. She was instructed by Civil Aviation in Port Vila to return to Santo for the safety of those on board. In New Zealand, principals and teachers say courses on racism and unconscious bias are confronting but necessary. They say the training will help fix underachievement by Māori students. John Gerritsen reports.
Cultural capability is one of three priorities for teacher training this year, and the Education Ministry says more than 300 schools and groups of schools have applied for funding for such courses. In addition, the Ministry is rolling out Te Hurihanga Nui, a scheme aimed at tackling racism and accelerating Māori achievement. Principals have told RNZ the courses help teachers understand what they need to change and why. They say schools need to remove systemic racism from such things as their choice of curriculum resources and the way they allocate students to classes.
The French Polynesian surfer Michel Bourez has been eliminated in the Olympic surfing competition. 35-year-old Bourez, who was the only competitor of the French team making it to the quarterfinal, lost out to Brazil's double world champ Gabriel Medina. Surfing made its debut as an Olympic sport this year, with Tahiti hosting the 2024 event when Paris will organise the next Olympic Games. And in rugby, the Wallabies have been given permission to enter New Zealand without having to stay in managed isolation, meaning next week's Bledisloe match will go ahead. Cabinet ministers in Wellington agreed to halt all quarantine-free travel with Australia as the country grapples with its COVID-19 outbreak. That's a bulletin of news from RNZ Pacific, Tōwhā.
Hello, Keta, you heard Kamlo Pacific Waves from RNZ Pacific, Nick Roy Hawkins. Coming up.
We are not going to be intimidated by such tactics, you know, by the government.
Police in Fiji have arrested members of the parliamentary opposition group for opposing a controversial government lands bill.
This long process has demonstrated where it could go wrong and where it did go wrong, and thankfully the courts were able to correct those.
We speak with Samoa's first woman prime minister about coming out of the country's political crisis.
When they finished the smoke, and then they used to keep my leg and press it on the smoke.
And we hear more testimony from Pacifica survivors of violence to the Royal Commission of Inquiry into Abuse in Care. Fiji's opposition leader says he won't be intimidated or silenced for criticising the government over a land bill. At least seven politicians were arrested and taken into custody and questioned by police for criticising government moves to amend land legislation. It comes as the country faces a challenging period in battling COVID-19 with rising numbers of cases and deaths. Elisha Foon has more.
Fiji's COVID-19 situation is out of control, with 626 new cases. A pregnant health worker is among nine people who died from the virus, with more than 17,000 active cases in isolation. There have now been 186 deaths due to COVID-19 in Fiji. Testing has stopped, and people are being told to isolate themselves if they are symptomatic. Against this backdrop of a national health crisis, police have arrested leaders of the opposition, including the National Federation Party leader, Biman Prasad.
Police are here to take me to the police station for questioning on our statement, party statement. We are opposing the bill, so they want to question why we are opposing the bill.
Mr. Prasad recorded this message during his arrest en route to the police station. He was among at least seven other politicians taken in for questioning by police in Suva for criticising government moves to amend the Itoki Land Trust Act, being debated in Parliament this week. After 2 hours of questioning, he was later released and says it feels like an attack on Fiji's democracy.
We don't blame the police. I mean, this is coming from the government. They are using, police to oppress the opposition political leaders. And that's not the way, democracy works.
After 2 hours of questioning, he was later released and says it feels like an attack on Fiji's democracy. Mr. Prasad says the government failed to consult the public properly over the bill. There are calls to withdraw it because it's seen as abusing the rights of Indigenous landowners.
We are elected members of Parliament. Our job is to continue to speak, and we are not going to be intimidated by such tactics, by the government to silence the opposition who have, an important contribution to make, in the process of any lawmaking in the country.
Another opposition leader, Linda Tabuya, was also taken into custody and accused of a malicious act by police for her social media posts about the land bill. She says it was also wrong that Niko Nawakula, a champion of Indigenous voices, was kicked out of the House last week ahead of the land bill discussions. She has this message for Prime Minister Frank Bainimarama.
There are 23 of us in there, and we are going to come back at you hard. Yeah, we're sick and tired of all the bully and fear-mongering. We're sick and tired of all the death and destruction allowed on your watch because of your recklessness. We're sick and tired because you don't give a damn. You don't give a damn about Itoki rights. You don't give a damn about human rights.
The Fijian government and police have been approached for comment, but there has been no response for an interview. However, over the weekend, before the arrests were made, Bainimarama did speak out for the first time, condemning his opposition leaders on Facebook.
These are a bunch of urban elite who are nothing but stirrers. Only a few control the show, and they become the gatekeepers of what is right and what is wrong. Even this amendment makes ultimately Itoki land a lot more attractive. It removes bureaucracy without undermining any of the protections. We should not be concerned about a piddly thing such as this when we should all be happy about it.
A political tussle while COVID cases continue to soar in Fiji.
Samoa's first woman prime minister believes the political crisis which blocked her transition to power has caused long-standing damage to Samoa's democracy and signalled the need for a review of the constitution. After a political impasse of over 3 months, the Court of Appeal on Friday ruled in favour of the FAST party's government and its validity. I spoke with Fiame Naomi Matafa and started off by asking how she felt to be finally turning the page on this tense political chapter in Samoa's history.
Very thankful. As you've said, it's been quite prolonged, but I think perhaps we needed to go through this. You know, it's brought up a lot of challenges and questions with regards to our constitution. But I'm very thankful that our court institutions have been able to, process and come to conclusions. So I'm very pleased and thankful.
Now you've lost a bit of time here in getting your government off the ground. Has that work been going on behind the scenes, or has that started already now?
Yes, I mean, we've been preparing our cabinet and also our caucus, in terms of, what is the parliamentary work as opposed to cabinet work. So we've been preparing the team because, as you'll appreciate, a lot of our members are new. But, that is the nature of democratic government. The people vote in their representatives from time to time. And, that's the circle, who come in when there is a change of government. So we've been preparing in that way. We had approached key ministries in terms of our expectations from CEOs in preparing